is Beth and Dad, September 23rd, 1994. We're continuing the tape that just ended.
Well, as in the last tape, I believe we ended where I mentioned the people that witnessed the wedding, and it was in the Spreckles building in San Diego, which is still stands. Spreckles, I guess, was a well-known person in San Diego, did a lot of development there, which I don't call development anymore, but it was at that time.
What do you call it now?
I call it ruining good land.
Okay, I thought that might be it.
But anyhow, so after the wedding, we were going to go to a fairly fancy restaurant and for our wedding dinner, and all these four or five guys, along with Tuddy and me, we're going to go into the restaurant here. They served aperitifs, they served drinks, and they carded my wife, who wasn't 21 at the time, and they wouldn't let us in.
Aww.
Or they would let us less in, but of course we didn't want to eat the wedding supper and have her stand outside waiting, so we had to go to it was a semi-drive-in, but a nice place called Topsy's, and there we had our wedding supper. It was very nice. We had a good time.
Excuse me, how old were you and Mom at the time? Do you remember?
I suppose I was 23 and she was 18, which some of the grandchildren might say, what's this all about? So anyhow, then we took the train and went to San Francisco because that's where I was going to be shipped out from. And we did stay in Los Angeles for a few days because we went to a couple of shows. I remember seeing Ibsen's Dollhouse with Tuddy. We went to a Major League Hockey game, Los Angeles Kings and somebody else, and just wandered around looking at the sites at the Walk of Fame, where they have the stars' names on the sidewalk, and the Chinese Grauman Theater, and those things. So we had a good time. But then we went to San Francisco and spent a couple more days there. And then at that point, they assigned me to what they call the bullpen. And once I was in there, then I was no longer permitted to go out. So at that point, I kissed Teddy goodbye. She hopped on the train to go back to Prentice, and I was in the bullpen ready to go overseas.
Why was it called the bullpen?
That was just a bullpen, I guess. It was a fenced area, and once you're in there to get ready to be shipped out, you were no longer permitted to go outside. You could no longer go. So our first stop, well, we did stop in Hawaii, but never got off the ship there. It was a troop ship. And during my time with the radio station, I did get a go from a sailor to a seaman first class, then eventually seaman third class, eventually to a radioman first class. And so having a badge on my arm gave me, I was assigned a crew of men who would work chipping paint and keep painting the ship, so I could just stand and order them and say, this needs paint over here, you guys. And I knew nothing about painting or anything like that, but I did have a slight rate over the apprentices or whatever they were. But we stopped in Hawaii just so we could see the island, and I guess they did some loading and unloading there, and then we ended up in Hollandia, which is New Guinea. And there we were again in a shore station, and again our job was to monitor radio signals coming through. And again, we didn't have any choice as the frequency. They would give us the frequency, and then it was our job to type the code as it came in and hand it to those who would hand it on to the decoders. And I hope it served a purpose. It must have, to some degree. But New Guinea turned out to be just great duty. It was, by this time, the The wax and the waves had been there, made it secure, so it was safe for us. There were no longer bombs and guns and things like that, so we didn't have to worry about the fighting. But this was up in the mountains, and it would rain every morning for maybe a half hour. Then you'd have a lush, the sweet smelling. It would smell so good, all the fresh blossoms and flowers. And then there was a mountain stream there, and we actually played Tarzan. There were vines from the trees, and we would jump on the vines and swing back and forth and then hop in the pool, and we swam every day when we weren't on duty. So we really, it was not bad duty at all. And we did go hunting a few times. We had rifles and never shot anything. And when I think about it, I suppose it wasn't really the smartest thing to do, because there could have been landmines there. We would wander down through the hills and into the valley and with our rifles, and I don't know what we were hunting for, just walking around.
It sounds like your hunting track record stays the same.
Yeah, that's right, yes. Bambi was always safe, even though I went deer hunting for years and years. So I can't remember exactly what the timing was. We were there a few months, and then we ended up going to Luzon, or to the Manila, to the Philippines. That was the first time I saw the devastation of the war. This beautiful city with all the white buildings, and first of all, the harbor was full of ships. What I meant to say is the harbor was full of sunken ships. They were just, all you could see was the front end of ships that were in the harbor. And the buildings were just, it was rubble, and the ones that were standing had big shell holes in the walls. And this was downtown Manila, and it kind of gave you an idea what a terrible thing that was. But then, there again, we were at a shore station, and we were there when the war ended, and